welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
Doxodeo Hatfield, so open up a Bible with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. So as the Doxodeo family, our theme for this year is that of hope. Not just faith that reaches the lost and love that heals the pain, but hope that restores what is broken. But the reality is that so often, people in our city have not had any positive experience or view of who God is. That hope that we speak about is absent, or there's deep cynicism or distrust that has grown there for very good reason. Very often such bad experiences that they've had with religion or people of faith in the past. And so as we in a series at the moment speaking about the Holy Spirit, we spoke about the voice of the Spirit last week. Today we're going to be speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and listen to how Paul connects the idea of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to bringing something of a picture of this God of hope to our city. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware." Verse 4, "There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person." A manifestation, making something that is not visible, visible. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Do you hear what Paul is saying? Paul is saying that in a city, in maybe a home or an office or a commune where the hope, the love, the reality of God is maybe not seen or experienced, one of the ways in which God says, "I will manifest who I am, make myself present to the city," is when my people would trust me enough to not only receive the gifts of my Spirit, but use the gifts of my Spirit. It is like the light coming on into a dark space of our city. Whenever I am simply saying, "God, I will trust you enough that as I step into my family, into my office, into my place of work, and in a space where the world is dark, you have given us a place, a power that surges in and through us." And whenever I just say yes to what God is doing, whether it's a word of knowledge, whether it's a prayer of healing, whether it's something of an encouragement, the moment that God comes to manifest himself through us in a dark world, he says, "My light will come through." He says, "For the common good of the city, will my people trust me for his gifts to manifest his character?" There's one theologian that simply says that the spiritual gifts are God going public. It's God simply going public amongst his people and the people of our city in spaces of darkness. As we trust him that his gifts operate in and through us, he's going public. But there's another dimension to it. It's not simply God for the common good of the friend and the neighbor and the colleague and the family member who maybe does not yet have a good experience or a revelation of who God is, that they would experience him. There's another dimension that I want us to focus on today. And to maybe help us a little bit with that. So many years ago, when I was a bit younger, I had a light degree of osteoporosis. So it's often called brittle bone disease, just meaning that you kind of break things fairly easily. So at the age of 18, I said, "Cool, I'm going to hang up now my rugby tocks and make sure that is the end of it." Too many little injuries and niggles in the meantime. Eventually got completely healed of that, and that's awesome. But maybe you can imagine someone like Samuel L. Jackson in Unbreakable with Bruce Willis. He's the bad guy. He has severe osteoporosis. And so when he just falls, he just breaks everything. He's called, you know, glass. He's this super villain that's, I guess, his superpower is breaking when he falls, which is not a great superpower. But that's almost a picture of when a body does not have the strength, the capacity to hold itself in strength. But the beautiful thing is, the body, when it is healthy and functioning well, when there is no deficiency in it, it actually has the capacity to do the opposite. So there is something called bone remodeling that our body can do. And basically what it comes down to, Wolf's Law says that almost the amount of tension and pressure put onto your skeletal frame, your body will in turn respond to that by remodeling its bone structure to strengthen itself for the work it needs to do. So there was some research that was done on different sportsmen, and they found that, for instance, gymnasts had some of the highest bone density of all athletes. And why is that? Because of the constant stress that their body is put under. It has to respond. It has to remodel itself. So too, they found that combat sports athletes, just the constant blocking and punching and all, you know, all the stress that your body's put under, your bone structure literally responds by saying, I need to remodel myself. I need to build myself up so that I am equipped for the work I'm called to do. Now, listen to how Paul puts it. He says, it's not just simply for the common good that God gives spiritual gifts for the friends and the neighbors and the colleagues and the family members. But he says, I also want to speak about us as the people of God. And he says, imagine with me when we come together. Read here, 1 Corinthians 14:12. So also, he says, since you are zealous, passionate for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in what? In building up the church. Verse 26, whenever you come together, not if you come together, whenever you come together, each one has a hymn or a teaching or a revelation or a tongue or an interpretation, and everything is to be done. All the spiritual gifting of God operating when we come together in community groups, on Sundays, for a braai, wherever we're coming together. He says each of these things, they ought to be done, what? For building up. Paul is saying the body of God, the church, his people, has the capacity to increase its spiritual bone density if it would simply be obedient and active in the gifts that he gives. The capacity that we have for spiritual bone density increase will come down to the degree to which we say, God, if you have given us your gifts, we will step into obedient work of them. Every time we get together, can I maybe shift our thinking today? And I'm going to focus it mostly also in your thinking on community groups, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and even just when we get together, when you are just hanging out with the people of God, that you would have the posture of saying, this moment can be infused with such spiritual significance if I'm willing to say, God, what do you want to do in this moment to build up your church? And it's not going to happen through Manalisi or myself or some other person. It's going to happen through us. God says it is the plumbers and the poets and the pediatricians and the programmers. It's the people of God as they take up their role as the agents who build up the spiritual bone density of the church. You will see my body grow in strength. Yes, being a Christian in 2024 is no joke, friend. If you want to do this for comfort, you're in it for the wrong thing. You're not going to receive comfort. You're going to receive life to the full. But the enemy will push back. Life will push back. The world is broken and fallen, and at times we feel it, and we can be cynical, and we can feel weary, but God says, but when you come together, allow my gifts to operate through you, and you will see the strength of my body rise. Amen. So let's see what that also looks like. I'm going to take us then to 1 Peter 4. So the context here is Peter is writing to a church that is in need of spiritual bone density. They have been moved out forcefully of their homes and places. And so he's writing to them and he's wanting to encourage them. How do we live life when we are under pressure? How do we live life as a community when things are not going our way? So he says this in verse 7. The end of all things is near. And therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. So if anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we walk through this passage, that first little part that might have triggered some people, depending on your background, about the end of all things is near, we're not going to touch upon that today. We preached the whole book of 1 and 2 Peter just 2 years ago, so you can go and check out on our website. There is a sermon where we really dug into the extremes that people can end up in with all these kind of end times focuses. But for our purposes today, I would just say that Paul is saying that the Jesus event, the Christ event, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that kicked off a chapter of the human story that is called the end times. And whether that is 1 year or 100,000 years, that's irrelevant. The focus is not the time, the focus is the posture of God's people in that time. One of being active and prayerful, trusting that God has done something in Jesus that has put us into high gear for what his kingdom is busy doing. So we're not going to spend time on that. But in that posture, he's saying the way you do community must have an urgency and an expectation for my Spirit's work. There must be an expectation when we come together. I used to play touch rugby in Bloom. Our church would have this big touch rugby game every Friday evening. At times you had like 60 people there, like four games. And because a lot of the guys had come into the church and lots of church people there, there was an expectation that even if something were to happen, there someone got, you know, injured, we would pray for that person. You know, when we moved here, I played a bit of touch rugby with guys in Centurion, just a bunch of dudes who don't know Jesus yet. I promise you, no one was going to pray for you if you got injured. Why? It's not because there's something wrong. They don't know Jesus yet, but there's no expectation for him to do something. And so Paul is saying, man, in the end times, in the end moment of all things, when you gather, you can't just gather with passive, like, observance. Okay, what's going to happen today? What's going to happen at community group? Okay, I'm here at church. I'm waiting for things to happen. No, he's saying you must gather with the expectation that my Spirit wants to work in and through you. If my body is going to build itself up, you must have the expectation that he wants to use you. So he says, above all, you can highlight this in verse 8. Maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, some people interpret this to mean forgiveness of sins. But the focus of 1 Peter, if you read it, you'll see that the focus here is simply this. If I am frustrated with you, angry with you, irritated with you in this church, it's very difficult to keep that up if I'm serving you in love. If God is calling me to use the gifting he's put in me to serve you, it's very difficult to stay angry at you. It's very difficult if I'm praying for you to also be frustrated with you. It's very difficult to stay irritated with our small little differences. We're a multi-ethnic and multi-generational church. We have very few things in common just as people. It's Jesus that brings us together. There's lots of opportunity. We all have to speak broken English almost in this church because that's one of the few languages we all understand. That's our first language is broken English. So we all have to speak that. That's irritating. It's a small little difference. You look different. You speak different. These things, you rub me the wrong way. You know, I was so excited about church and then this person really just, they messed it up with what they were doing. It's very difficult to do that when I'm maintaining constant love through service. And so he says what we need to do is, for instance, see that as an opportunity for one of the gifts of hospitality. He says, man, you need to practice the gift of being hospitable to one another. Can I keep encouraging? I said, this is the culture that I want us to have in our community groups. Community groups are not a static thing. It's an ongoing community culture that we need to form. We need to find the depths of what it could be. And one of those things is that when someone is battling in your group, it's our responsibility to come alongside them. If someone is sick, the first reaction in the group should be, okay, who and how are we taking food to that person? You're like, no, there must be some more spiritual thing we can do. No, there's nothing more spiritual than taking food to someone struggling in your community group. He says, no, we need to make sure that our approach to each other is when we are struggling, step in and be hospitable. Bring hope.
I remember once one of the couples in our group was going through a bit of a difficult time, and so we just, as a group, came together, we organized a bit of a meal train for them, and when they just had piles of food, they didn't have enough mouths to eat all the food, which was beautiful, so now they're stocking up for the next week or two, and they just sent me and Shay a photo to say thank you, because we're leading and facilitating the group, but I told them, no, this is not us, this is the group, and so I'm going to stretch you guys, would you mind, because we're trying to build this culture, will you send this photo on the group? And just, you know, celebrate it. Why? Because I want everyone to see, guys, this is the kind of church that we want to be. This is Christianity 101. You struggling? Yes, we're stepping in with hospitality. Why? Because that is what the Spirit is doing. Some of you thought, oh, the gifts of the Spirit today. Ooh, it's going to be hocus pocus and it's going to be Hogwarts. We're going to figure it out today. Hey, one of the most incredible spiritual things you can do, spiritual gifts, take food to people. Be hospitable. Get people into your home. When someone's struggling, make it your issue. Peter says, verse 10, read with me here. He says, just as each one has received a gift. He's very emphatic with this, isn't it? What is the secret key? What is the crazy, you know, acronym that we need to discover in the Bible, the biblical code that unlocks spiritual gifts? It's right there. Use it to serve others. As good stewards of the varied grace of God. That Greek word for varied grace, they often use it just to speak about varieties of colors. So it's almost this beautiful picture of when it's almost like a light being shown into a prism and out comes just this beautiful display of light. Or if you're a designer, a color wheel. God says, when my people are coming together, whether on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Sunday, when we gather, it should be like a color wheel of gifts just operating amongst each other. If my picture of the church is of some holy man speaking and people listening, or of some band singing and we, you know, just mouthing with them, or it's a time slot or a building, he's saying, man, there's so much more to discover. It should be a community, a whole color wheel of gifting just moving in and out every week. When I'm stepping into community group on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, I should be thinking actively, what is the color that I'm going to bring toward this gathering tonight? How does God want to speak not only to me, but through me? Not just work powerfully in my life, but through my life. And there are so many different things. You know, we just spoke about hospitality, but maybe it is just the simple obedience of praying for someone for healing. One of my good friends, after he had become a Christian, and he started discovering this thing about the gifts that every person has. He says he's walking in the mall, and even though he's an extrovert, you know, he doesn't mind connecting with people. This was way beyond what he would ever want to do. He's walking, and he sees this elder gentleman, and like we said last week about hearing the voice of God, one of those ways, just that sentence fragment that he hears in his mind. It's not some woo-woo thing happening. It's just a thought in his mind, and he hears this crazy thought, and he thinks, I should pray for this man for healing. And he's immediately like, what? Like, why would I think that? That was a silly, why did my mind just do that? That's a crazy thing. But in that moment, it's not like some big conversation with God. Oh, no, God, why did you say this? No, I want you to pray. But no, God, I don't have time. You're like some charismatics and take it really far. It's just a thought. But now he's battling with it. I don't want to do this. This is weird. Like, it's in the mall. Eventually conquers this fear. And he's like, oh, my word. Okay. So he turns around and he walks up to this man, just stops him. And he's like, sir, I know this is crazy, but would you mind if I pray for you? Are you sick in some way? Do you have pain of some sort? And this man, I guess God prepared his heart for this moment. He's not freaked out by this request. And he just says, yes, he's got incredible lower back pain. And so my friend, he doesn't have special words. He doesn't have an anointing of some sort. He doesn't have a card that calls him, you know, prophet, priest, you know, doctor, whatever. He just, okay, let's pray. And just normal words, Jesus, thank you. And we just pray for this man's healing. And he says, as soon as he's done, this man just says, my back feels so good. Thank you. And he's stunned. He's like, what? Okay, that's incredible. And they have this moment. All that happened, he is not like some healer. He's going to be on TBN soon with a healing ministry anytime. No, he's just a normal person like you and me. He doesn't work for the church, but he just accepted in the moment. Here was an aspect of darkness. In the new creation, sickness will not be part of what we experience of the people of God. So here's an aspect of darkness in the world. And simply when God speaks, this friend of mine is just saying, well, if God says it, then I guess in this moment, what I can do is not heal someone. We're not called to heal a single person. I will just pray and trust that the light of God would be switched on in someone's life. Oh, many years ago when the first complex we ever stayed in, I'm coming home from church and I see our security guy that I've seen 100 times. And again, just this sentence fragment in my mind as I drive past him, take coffee, you know, take him some coffee. And again, I'm like, what? That's such a random thought. I'm trying to get back. I've just been at church now. It's been a long day. I want to get back to Shay. But once again, not the super charismaniac like conversation. Oh God, I don't want to do this. And God's like, no, I want you to do it. And I'm like, oh God, you're always so on my case. Like, it's not that. It's just a thought. And then in the end, I'm like, okay, maybe this is God. Okay, so I go and I make coffee and I walk up to this guy. And as the security guy turns around, what does he have in his hand? Coffee. So I'm like, oh, you see, this is silly. Like, I had it completely wrong. It was the pizza from last night. This was not God. And literally the next thought is, again, it's not audible. It's not the clouds. It's not gold dust coming down. It's just the thought. But it was so clear. It's clearer than an audible voice. I just hear this clear thought saying the coffee was not for him. It is so that you guys can connect. And so I just chat to him and I say, hey, how's it going? Can we just have a moment? Can I drink coffee with you? And he just starts sharing. It again feels just like God had just prepared his heart. I'm not asking these like piercing questions, but he's just opening up about what's happening in his marriage and some of the difficulties he's facing. And it's such a beautiful moment. In the end, I just ask him, man, can we just pray together? And I just lay my hand on his shoulder and we're just praying. I don't have all the right words, but as I'm praying, I can just sense here and there, there's a sentence or a couple of sentences that I feel like, man, this is not me. This is God. I'm just trusting him to speak. And I can feel this man is kind of, he's having some kind of a reaction. Maybe it's crying. What's happening? This older man is having this moment. And as I open up my eyes, man, just tears are just flowing from his eyes. And again, he just says, thank you that we could spend this moment together. I just thought, God, this is not me. This is not that I'm great. It's just simply a moment of darkness, someone going through emotional pain. It's the darkness of our world. And all that I'm doing is as God's speaking, as his power is flowing, I'm just saying, God, I will trust you. And if you want to do this, if you want to flow through me right now, I will trust you to do that. And your light will just come on. That's it. What could it look like if for our city and for our gathering, we could just say, God, what would it mean if your variety of colors, of your color wheel, of your light, if the strengthening of your body could take place in and through us every single time we get together? Highlight with me here in verse 11 as we move on. He says, if anyone speaks, let it be as what? As one who speaks God's words. And if anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. Do you hear the focus here? He's not saying a powerful people, a wise people. He says an available people. Why? Because the emphasis is on God. It's not my words. It's the words of God. It's not me healing. It's me praying. It's the energy source of God just moving through me. He's the one that brings light. He's the one that changes. And here's the point. The pressure is off. We don't have to have it figured out, guys. I don't have it figured out, and neither do you. But each of us can just say, God, if you have given us your spirit without limit, what we are plugged into is genuinely cosmic. And so all God is saying is in that moment, the encouragement can become godly encouragement. This prayer can become a moment of deep significance and healing if you are simply willing to trust me. The pressure is off because it's not the people, it is God in and through the people. He is manifesting who he is to those around us. In fact, Dr. Sam Storms in his book, Understanding Spiritual Gifts, he puts it like this. He says, spiritual gifts are nothing less than God himself in us, energizing our souls, imparting revelation to our minds, infusing power in our wills, and working his sovereign and gracious purposes through us. Spiritual gifts are God present in, with, and through human thoughts, human deeds, human words, human love. The pressure is off because it's God in us. I think about some of the other gifts, the gifts of just encouragement. Sometimes it's words of encouragement or wisdom, or maybe sometimes it's prophecy. Prophecy is not telling the future. It's simply speaking the word of God over someone in that moment. Last year, one of the couples in our community group, they were going through a really difficult time. And someone, they shared the story at our group. It was just so crazy. Someone had reached out to them. And I just want to read to you a portion of this email that he received. So this guy reached out to him. In the end, he finds out that he is a tutor at the University of Johannesburg. So he says in the email, "Hi, so-and-so, my name is so-and-so, just want to keep it vague. You don't know me, and this is going to sound very random, but please hear me out. My relationship with God is very important to me, and I often feel God just placing a word or a message on my heart to share with someone. I felt to Google Pretoria Boys High staff, because I felt there was a specific staff member who God was going to give me a word for. And as I scrolled through some of the staff members, I felt God leading me to contact you. I just want to be obedient." And so he proceeds to share this word. And as they shared this word with our group, because of so many of us in the group knowing what they're going through, the words that this guy was using and some of the stuff he was saying, you were like, you can't make this up. This is just too specific. It's too God. It's too much of simply someone saying, "Listen, I don't have it in me. How random is that? I think I should go onto a website of a school in a, you know, it's not even in the city that I live in. But maybe God wants to, in a space of darkness that a family is facing, if I can just be obedient, if I can just share words that he's giving to me, maybe in that moment, God can just bring light into a couple's life." Just this week, my wife, we WhatsApping back and forth. I'm at work, and she just shares with me lots of stuff happening at work at the moment, and she just sends in a WhatsApp, "I feel so tired and discouraged at the moment." Whole story going into that. And I think to myself, okay, this is too big for WhatsApp. Well, you know, when we get home, we're going to have a good moment of connection. And not even, you can ask her, not even 10 minutes later, I just see on the preview of WhatsApp there on my phone, "And then God." I'm like, okay, what's happening here? So like I'm sneaking a peek here during the meeting, just checking what's happening. Someone sends her this message. I'm just translating from Afrikaans here. She says, "Hi Shay, I was at church last night and they had led us to go into our contact list of our phone and to see if God is leading us to someone to share some encouragement with. And your name just, you know, it popped out so clearly to me." And she says here that, you know, "At first I thought, no, God, not this name." But she felt so clearly, no, it is this name. I need to speak to you. And she says, "The picture that I saw is of a woman that's running, but just feels so tired and discouraged. But I just have this word that you would not stop running because the prize at the end is worth it. I'm not sure if these words make any sense to you, but I just felt I needed to send it to you. I feel so discouraged and tired, and then God." It's simply saying, "God, maybe there is a space, maybe there's relationally something happening in someone's life. There is darkness. And if I would just simply be obedient, just share your words, maybe the light of God would just come on. Maybe the body would be built up. Maybe the spiritual bone density of this people would be able to not just resist, but thrive, would be able to run and jump and work for the kingdom in the city. If we are just simply obedient to him." Let me read to us just one last big scripture here. Romans 12, verse 6. Listen to how Paul counsels the church in Rome. He says, "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." I just love that. The NLT, it's like, oh, it's so complicated. Spiritual gifts and how does it work? And what's the incantation that I need to, you know, what sign in the air do I need to make? It's like, it's simply this. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you then the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, then teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it's giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, then take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Paul is never trying to be exhaustive in any of these lists that he's trying to make. He's saying there is a color wheel of gifting. And the focus is not on trying to figure out exactly which one I have or how it works. The focus is this: practice the gifts of God as you gather together and you will see God working. It's a get into the game kind of focus. Yesterday we went to watch some rugby together, and you know, people often say you can use this of any sport, but let's use rugby as an example. We're sitting there in the stadium and they'll often say that rugby is a game where you're watching 30 men who are in desperate need of rest, watched by 30,000 people who are in desperate need of exercise. That's often how it works, right? But the reality is that's often how we can practice church. Who is the spiritual person amongst us that we need? Oh, someone is asking us to pray in the community group. Okay, where's our solid spiritual person? Can I tell you who the most spiritual person here is? You are. Because you have the Spirit of God within you. Jesus, in his human nature, said, I will trust the Spirit of God to work in and through me. And that very same Spirit is in you if you are a follower of Jesus. Paul's language is not if you have it, but what you have, practice it. So next time someone comes to me and says, oh, Joe, can you pray for me? I'm going to say, let me just grab one of my very spiritual friends here, and I'm going to grab one of you guys. He's the most spiritual. She's the most spiritual person I know. She's got the Holy Spirit within her. If at your office you're thinking, oh man, we need someone, a leader, it's you. If at community group you sense, man, let's just stop the conversation, we need to pray. If you're thinking that, you stop everyone. Say, guys, I think we just need to minister to this person. No, we need a spiritual person. Luckily, we have a whole bunch of spiritual people. God says, we just need to get into the game. That's why 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, you're a chosen race, you're a royal priesthood. I love it. Where's the priest? The priest must come and pray for the people. You are the priests. You are the priesthood. The priest must come and pray for the people, you know, at the hospital because he's got the anointing. No, the people of God have got the anointing. You go and pray. You share the word of encouragement. You practice hospitality. God is teaching us how to be a body that builds itself up. So I'm going to give you two resources to maybe help you in this way. To dig a bit further. The first one we've shared a couple of times, and it's the most like on the nose URL you will ever see in this regard, spiritualgiftstest.com. So you can't really miss what this is all about, but it's a great ministry. It's really biblical. I trust them. And it's a free resource. You can go and do this test, and it'll give you some handles maybe around the way that you do life. And maybe that's helpful. For you guys that want to read and study a bit further, I already mentioned Dr. Sam Storms. All of his books are fantastic. He is a hardcore Bible student, teacher, theologian, and all of his stuff is so great because it's grounded in the scriptures. So if you want to dig into the work of the Holy Spirit, a great book to read is Understanding Spiritual Gifts by Sam Storms. It's really fantastic. But, and we'll send this out in the partners group as well. You can take both of these resources down. But here is the point. You know the most effective way to receive and know what your gifting is? It's not a spiritual gifts test. It's practicing your gifts when the moment arises. The way the church has discovered its spiritual gifting over the last 2,000 years is as the need arose, you just step in obedience. So if there is someone in your community group that is sick, you ask them, is something in pain at the moment? And you take your hands out of your pockets and you lay it on their shoulders and you pray for them. Is there someone that you know at the moment in our church that is distressed or discouraged? You take them out for coffee and you just listen. You say, Holy Spirit, will you give me just the kind of posture that will bring healing and hope to this person's life? Is there anyone struggling financially in our church at the moment? Someone in your community group? Why not go the extra mile and bless them financially? Do you know someone that's confused about some aspect of the faith? They read some verse that's thrown them for a loop, or some doctrine that's challenging, or whatever the case is. Why not, you know, go and buy yourself a study Bible? Go and get a good commentary. Get that concordance out. Study. Follow the Lord your God with your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Maybe study this issue. And you take them out for coffee and you say, man, we're going to put our heads and our hearts together. And Holy Spirit, will you come and lead us to have clarity in this area? If someone's struggling with sin and they are maybe not willing to open up to someone, you come to them and say, hey, I don't have it all figured out. I'm not perfect, but you are safe with me. Can I just share with you what's happening in my life? And before you ask them, you just say, can we just pray? And let's just give a moment of silence that the Holy Spirit can maybe just highlight some of the thoughts that's maybe invading your mind that's not from God. Maybe there's intense condemnation that's just been lashing out to you. It's keeping you in the dark. Maybe there are skewed pictures that you have of God and who He is. And that's keeping you from sharing this with someone. Peter says, man, if we can pray for one another, there is healing in that. Or maybe there is a single mom or a single dad in our church, and you know that they are battling at the moment, having to keep everything afloat. And so there's an ever-growing pile of laundry, or there's a lawn that hasn't been cut, or there is a garage that is becoming like a whole species on its own. Here's what you do with your next Saturday. You don't go and play paddle for the millionth time. You phone up that person, you say, hey, some of us in our community group, we want to come and just serve you. Because we love you and we know it's incredibly tough to have to do this in the season of your life. We want to serve you. How will you figure out your gifts? Practicing the people of God's way of doing life. As you practice it, you will find what you are good at. He's given varieties, color wheels of gifts to His people. And the beautiful thing is, when we do that, Henry Blackaby just simply says this, if we function according to our ability alone, then yes, we get the glory. But if we function according to the power of the Spirit within us, God gets the glory. Let's just practice the gifts of God. And if you say, but what if I fail? What if I say something, it's stupid, or I pray and it doesn't work, or I, you know, put my foot in my mouth? Here's what we do. We will celebrate you. We'll celebrate you. Simon Holly leads a church in the UK, and he says what they do is they share stories in the church of people failing at their spiritual gifts. Not too long ago, they had a lady. She said she was so convinced on the train, she shared this word of knowledge with this person. It was dead wrong, like a million kilometers off. This person was like, no, not at all. She completely missed it. It wasn't God. It was just the pizza from last night. So she shared that story in the church. And you know what happened? The moment the last sentence was done, people erupted into applause. Not like golf clap, like applause. Why? Because they say in our church, we celebrate not success, but obedience. Can we say, yes, we're going to miss it at times, but we will celebrate our obedience. Guys, the church has a capacity to build up. It is bone density. To switch on the light of God in our world. And it's going to happen as each of us. Can we commit today to say, don't step into this church on a Sunday. Don't step into community group on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Don't just come together with people without this posture saying, God, actively, I want to ask what you want to do in and through me. Who knows what God will do? Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, today I simply want to celebrate the fact, God, that you are so eager to work through us. Holy Spirit, we want to just welcome the work that you want to do in our church. We want to switch ourselves on, God, mentally and emotionally and spiritually and relationally to the work that you want to do. God, will you lead us that our Sundays, our gatherings, our community groups, whenever we are together, God, that it would just be this buzz of your Spirit at work. We trust you, God. We love you. We simply want to function, Holy Spirit, in your gifts to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.